Fats are by the brain. They are delicate and highly vulnerable to a process called oxidation. Oxidation occurs when oxygen, you may have heard of it, reacts chemically with certain molecules to create a new, damaged zombie molecule that has a super reactive extra electron called a free radical. How reactive is super reactive? Let's just say these radicals make the White Walkers from Game of Thrones look like a caravan of pacifist hippies. That extra electron can then react with another nearby molecule, transforming it into a second free radical and setting off a never-ending chain reaction that leaves utter mayhem in its wake. It's the biochemical equivalent of the zombie apocalypse, one molecule biting and infecting the one next to it, spawning a horde of the undead. Pioneering Austrian organic biochemist Gerhard Spittler, who had done much of the eye-opening research on the dangers of oxidized polyunsaturated fats, put it this way. Radicals are typically four orders of magnitude, or 10,000 times, more reactive than non-radical molecules. Their action is not under genetic control. They attack nearly all biological molecules, destroying lipids, proteins, nucleic acids, including DNA, hormones, and enzymes until the radicals are quenched by scavenger molecules. This is a form of chemical damage that all organic matter is subject to, like rust on iron. Iron is actually a catalyst for this same process in the human body and may partly explain why men get more and earlier heart disease than women. They have more red blood cells and more iron in circulation. Or a sliced apple that has turned brown. Leave an apple slice on the counter for a few minutes and you can appreciate just how quickly these chemical reactions take place. In the body, excessive oxidation equals inflammation and damage to cellular structures and DNA. It's also thought to be one of the primary mechanisms of aging. The battle against oxidation is a constant game of tug-of-war for all living creatures. Our own bodies, when healthy, have built-in antioxidant defense capabilities, and ideally, we churn out antioxidants, the aforementioned scavenger molecules, as fast or faster than free radicals can be created. Many of the genius foods are beneficial in part because they increase your body's production of its own scavenger molecules. Chronic inflammation or diseases like type 2 diabetes impair our ability to fight the accumulation of oxidative stress, and this is compounded when we absorb excess prooxidants from our food. It only takes a small amount of oxidative stress to set off a nuclear chain reaction of biochemical destruction, and the balance is a delicate one. This places the brain in a unique and precarious situation. Accounting for 20 to 25% of your body's oxygen metabolism, constructed in large part by these delicate polyunsaturated fats, and squeezed into a container the size of a grapefruit, it couldn't be a larger magnet for oxidation. When oxidative stress overwhelms our natural antioxidant systems, brain fog, memory loss, DNA damage, and the onset or worsening symptoms of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis or MS, Lewy body dementia, and autism ensue. Intact, let's call them fresh, polyunsaturated fats, are vulnerable to oxidation, but when they appear in their natural state contained in whole foods, they are bundled with fat-guarding antioxidants like vitamin E. This is not the case when polyunsaturated fats appear in oils that have undergone heat and chemical processing. When these oils are extracted and used to create packaged foods, they represent one of the major toxins in our food supply. Sometimes these oils are where you'd expect to find them, like in commercial salad dressings and margarines. Other times, they are sneakier. Grain-based desserts like cookies and cakes, granola bars, potato chips, pizza, pasta dishes, bread, and even ice cream are all among the top sources of oxidized oils in the diet. They coat and comprise the varnish on breakfast cereals. Roasted nuts are covered with them, unless they explicitly say they are dry roasted. And these oils are regularly served to us in restaurants, where processing, poor storage methods, being left out in a warm kitchen environment for months, for example, and heating and reheating make these highly susceptible fats go bad. Most restaurants now fry and saute foods in them, reusing the oil over and over, further damaging them and damaging you in the process. French fries, shrimp tempura, those delicious beer-battered chicken fingers, all are vehicles for these biochemically mutated oils and for massive amounts of dangerous compounds called aldehydes. Aldehydes are byproducts of fat oxidation and have been found in elevated amounts in Alzheimer's-riddled brains. They may influence the susceptibility of proteins in the brain to cross-link and clump together, thereby forming the plaques that gunk up the brain and are characteristic of the disease. These chemicals also serve as powerful toxins to the energy-generating mitochondria of the brain and spinal cord. Aldehyde exposure resulting from consuming rancid oils directly impairs cells' ability to generate energy. This is pretty bad news for your brain, the chief energy consumer in your body. Even after one polyunsaturated oil-rich meal, circulating markers of fat oxidation skyrocket by about 50% in young people, while a 15-fold increase in markers of rancid oils has been observed in older subjects. Another study noted that arteries become instantly stiffer and less responsive to the demands of exercise after a similar meal. These fats, far removed from their natural form, fuel the underlying mechanisms of chronic disease, damaging your DNA, causing inflammation in your blood vessels, and raising your risk for several types of cancer. These are the ominous oils to watch out for. Canola oil. Corn oil. Soybean oil. Vegetable oil. Peanut oil. Safflower oil. Sunflower oil. Rapeseed oil. Grapeseed oil. And rice bran oil. The food industry's search for cheap oil that it could market to the American people resulted in a veritable rogues gallery of deplorables. Sure, we eventually found out that trans fats were worse for our health than real butter could ever be, but our veil of ignorance continues to be exploited on butter yellow tubs with labeling like no hydrogenated oils, non-GMO, and of course, organic. In reality, these wellness buzzwords only serve to obscure the few pennies worth of mutated, rancid, heat-damaged frankenfats that have been squeezed into a tub and sold for $4.99 in the premium health food section of the supermarket. Cottonseed, canola, safflower, sunflower, and soy oils all are bad news and are hidden virtually anywhere manufacturers can squeeze them. In all, our use of these oils has skyrocketed 200 to 1,000-fold in the last century, the latter figure being the case for soy, despite an overall 11% decrease in total fat consumption by adults in the United States between the years of 1965 and 2011. These oils now make up 8 to 10% of total caloric intake for Americans, up from almost zero at the turn of the century. While a handful of sunflower seeds or peanuts or corn on the cob may be perfectly healthy, there is no safe level of consumption for any of these oils when industrially extracted from their original food sources and heated to high temperatures. Frequently asked question. I thought canola oil was healthy because it contains omega-3s. Answer. Canola oil is highly processed. While it does contain a relatively high amount of omega-3s compared to other oils, omega-3s are even more vulnerable to oxidation than omega-6s. The processing of canola oil creates just as many oxidative byproducts, including trans fats, which damage your blood vessels and your brain cells. More on this later. A brain on fire. We tend to think of our brains as unaffected by the goings-on in the rest of our bodies, but the problems associated with inflammation don't stay below the neck. Perhaps we don't think much about inflammation in the brain because it's invisible. It's not something we can feel with unmistakable certainty as we can the pain in an arthritic knee or an upset stomach, for example. But here's the cold, hard truth. Our brains sit downwind of the activated immune system. Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's, vascular dementia, MS, even chronic fatigue syndrome, these diseases can all in some way be likened to forest fires in the brain, frequently set off by a spark elsewhere in the body. But even before disease sets in, inflammation can rob us of our cognitive potential. If clear thinking is like coasting down a multi-lane highway with no traffic and all lanes open, inflammation creates lane closures and bottlenecks in the traffic. Having evolved over millennia, a competent and highly adaptable immune system is vital to our survival. Without one, even the most minute infection could lead to death. The immune system fights off these infections and is also the mechanism that engorges injured parts of the body with blood to help them heal, a sprained ankle, for example. The ensuing heat and redness, the flame in inflammation, is perfectly healthy, desired even, under the conditions I just described. Unfortunately, our immune systems today are in a constant state of activation, not due to infectious threat, but rather to what we're eating. Whereas omega-3 fats like DHA and EPA are anti-inflammatory, omega-6 fats are the raw materials used in our body's inflammation pathways, the very same pathways that become activated when the body is under the assault of infection. While it is speculated that our ancestral diets incorporated these essential fatty acids in a ratio of roughly 1 to 1, today we're consuming omega-6 fats and omega-3 fats in a ratio of 25 to 1. This means that every gram of omega-3 fat we consume is being washed down with a whopping 25 grams or more of omega-6. This kicks the aging process into high gear, accelerating the degenerative processes that underlie many of the chronic diseases burdening society today, and making you feel like crap all the while. How might you use fat to your advantage? Aside from cutting out polyunsaturated oils from your diet, like grapeseed oil, frequently hidden in salad dressings, which has an omega-6 to omega-3 ratio of 700 to 1, increase your consumption of foods that are naturally high in omega-3s. This can be achieved by sticking to wild fish, pastured eggs, and grass-fed or pasture-raised meats, which have more omega-3s and fewer omega-6s. If you don't like fish, or are unable to consume it 2 to 3 times per week, consider supplementing with high-quality fish oil. I'll provide tips for choosing one in Chapter 12, but here's a hint. Fish oil is the one place you don't want to skimp. One study from Ohio State University found that by simply taking a daily fish oil supplement that had 2,085 milligrams of anti-inflammatory EPA per day, students were able to achieve a 14% reduction in one particular marker of inflammation. This coincided with a 20% reduction in their anxiety. Arigato, for the Alzheimer's? The Japanese dietary pattern is known to include lots of vegetables and copious amounts of fish, the latter being a rich source of both DHA and EPA omega-3s. The country also enjoys low rates of Alzheimer's disease. However, when Japanese nationals move to the United States and adopt the inflammatory Western diet rich in polyunsaturated oils, factory-farmed meats, and refined carbohydrates, that protection seems to disappear. Alzheimer's rates among Japanese people living in the United States are more similar to those of Americans than to their relatives back home. Sane in the membrane. Whether you're going over a presentation, doing your taxes, or deciding what to watch on Netflix, your thoughts are the end result of countless chemical and electrical reactions that occur across the quadrillion connections that neurons make with one another in your brain. And the success of these processes may come down to one vital unsung hero of our cognitive function, the cell membrane. Aside from forming protective barriers, membranes also provide the ears of neurons by cradling receptors for various neurotransmitters within. Neurotransmitters are chemical messengers, and there are dozens of them in the brain. You may have heard of the A-listers serotonin and dopamine, neurotransmitters associated with positive mood and reward. Much of the time, receptors for these messengers will sit under the membrane surface, lying in wait for the right signal before bobbing up to the surface like buoys on the water. A properly functioning neuron must have the ability to increase or decrease its sensitivity to outside signals, and it does this by increasing or decreasing the number of buoys allowed to surface. For this to occur, the cell membrane must possess the property of fluidity. This is true of most cells in the body, but is especially important for neurons. If the nerve cell membrane is too rigid, receptor availability is impaired and can result in dysfunctional signaling, thus influencing our moods, behaviors, and memories. The good news is that, as with inflammation, your diet directly affects neuronal membrane fluidity. Membranes are formed by substances called phospholipids, which are essentially the chemical structures that hold important building blocks like DHA in place in the cell membrane. When these structures are rich in DHA, from fatty fish for example, membranes behave more fluidly, allowing the various receptors the ability to pop up to the surface of the cell membrane to hear the various messages from neurotransmitters. Unfortunately, omega-6 fats and omega-3 fats are highly competitive soccer rivals, both vying for the same trophy, in this case, the limited real estate in cell membranes. In a diet where omega-3s and omega-6s are consumed in comparable amounts, the brain's ideal structural balance would be met. But today, because most of us overconsume omega-6 fats by an order of magnitude, we elbow out the omega-3 fats and enrich these phospholipid structures with omega-6 fats instead. This promotes a more rigid membrane, making it difficult for these important signaling receptors to surface. When that happens, our mental health and aspects of our intelligence may suffer. BDNF, the ultimate brain builder. Omega-3 fats, and particularly DHA, directly support the brain by increasing its supply of a protein called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, or BDNF for short. Dubbed Miracle Grow for the Brain, BDNF is known not only for its ability to promote the creation of new neurons in the memory center of the brain, but also for being a bodyguard to your existing brain cells, helping to ensure their survival. The astonishing power of BDNF can be seen when the protein is sprinkled on neurons in a petri dish. It causes them to sprout dendrites, the spiny structures required for learning, like a chia pet. Having higher levels of BDNF bolsters memory, mood, and executive function in the short term and is a powerful promoter of brain plasticity in the long term. Plasticity is the term that neuroscientists use to describe the ability of the brain to change. In conditions where this characteristic is diminished, including Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, BDNF is also lower. The Alzheimer's brain may actually have half of the BDNF of a healthy brain, and raising it may slow progression. Even depression may be a result of having lowered BDNF, and increasing it might improve symptoms. While exercise is one of the best overall ways to boost this powerfully protective growth hormone, consuming omega-3 fats, and particularly DHA, is among the best dietary means that we know of. DHA is so important for building a healthy brain that researchers believe it was access to this special fat that allowed our early hominid brains to reach their current size. This may explain why the consumption of fish leading to higher blood levels of omega-3 fats, including DHA, is correlated with greater total brain volume over time. But don't write off DHA's usual sidekick, EPA. Inflammation is a well-known BDNF brain drain, and EPA is a powerful inflammation quencher. Unjamming brain gridlock with fat. Throughout my childhood, I had difficulties that seem like common complaints today. I was easily distracted and had a hard time sitting still and focusing on my classwork. As a result, I struggled to get good grades. At one point, my school's guidance counselor even suggested to my parents that they send me to see a psychologist. Look at me now, Mrs. Capello. Grievances aside, the troubles I had fall under the domain of executive function, a broad set of cognitive abilities that includes planning, decision-making, attention, and self-control. Executive function is so far-reaching in day-to-day life that some experts think it's more important to success than IQ or even inherent academic talent. And luckily, research has highlighted a role for dietary fat in optimizing it. Like all areas of cognitive function, executive function relies on the healthy functioning of neurotransmitters. As such, it may be particularly affected by omega-6 to omega-3 imbalances. Researchers have observed that children with lower intakes of omega-6 fats perform significantly better in regard to their executive abilities. And for children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, which is often described as an executive function problem, as well as for typically developing children, attention has been shown in some studies to improve with omega-3 supplementation. Were the margarine and grain oils I grew up eating directly responsible for my issues? I'll never know for sure, but it wouldn't be hard to believe. Footnote. The modern problem of ADHD may be more a consequence of brains wired for novelty and exploration clashing with routine jobs and one-size-fits-all education, a theory that I'll revisit in Chapter 8. When it comes to shifting our fat intake toward a healthier state, any time is the right time, even if that means simply adding a fish oil supplement, according to a trial out of Berlin's Charity Hospital. In this study, adults were given daily omega-3 supplements containing 1,320 milligrams of EPA and 880 milligrams of DHA. After 26 weeks, the researchers found that subjects taking the omega-3 supplements displayed executive function enhanced by 26% over the placebo group, who actually saw a slight decline in their cognition. They also showed an increase in gray matter volume and superior white matter structural integrity. Think of white matter as the interstate highway system of the brain, allowing data to be shuttled between different regions at express lane speeds. In this study, omega-3 supplementation seemed to act like an infrastructural reinforcement team, smoothing out the potholes on the highway and even adding extra lanes. Helping you perform better is one thing. But might adding more omega-3s to your diet help if you are one of the 450 million people across the globe who suffer from some kind of mental illness? That's the question University of Melbourne researchers asked when they gave a daily dose of fish oil to people in their teens and early 20s with a history of psychotic symptoms. Using fish oil as a preventative or therapeutic approach is also very appealing because it doesn't carry a stigma the way antipsychotics do. Each subject in the trial was given 700 milligrams of EPA and 480 milligrams of DHA per day. Over 3 months, researchers found that, compared to the placebo, the fish oil group displayed significantly fewer psychotic episodes. Even more impressive, the improvement in symptoms seemed to persist when doctors assessed subjects' mental health 7 years later. Only 10% converted to full-on psychotic disorders, compared to 40% in the placebo group, a four-fold risk reduction. Patients were also significantly higher functioning and needed less medication to manage their symptoms. Footnote. Previously, omega-3s had shown mixed results in adults with psychotic disorders, but this study offers evidence that starting treatment earlier may be more effective. Is fish oil a cure-all for mental health? No, sadly. But this research does provide further evidence that our diets have become disharmonious with the needs of our brains. And by correcting the imbalance, we may reap significant benefits. Furans, your brain's sleeper agent? The late Austrian chemist Gerhard Spitteler, the first scientist to ring the alarm bell on the dangers of processed polyunsaturated oils, was studying fish oils when he made a fascinating observation. He noticed that concentrated sources of omega-3s were always accompanied by a type of fat called a furan fatty acid, or F acid. Made by algae and plants, these F acids are incorporated into fish oil when fish eat algae. Another known F acid source is organic grass-fed butter. Once consumed by us, they travel alongside omega-3s and 6s and other fats in a cell membrane where they scavenge and neutralize nearby free radicals generated by polyunsaturated fats or other oxidative stress. Japanese researchers saw the power of these mysterious fats when they studied the potent anti-inflammatory effects of the New Zealand green-lipped mussel. Curious about the much lower rates of arthritis in the coastal, muscle-chomping Maori population when compared to their inland-dwelling counterparts, the scientists compared the F-acid-containing mussel extract to EPA-rich fish oil and found that it was almost 100 times more potent than the EPA at reducing inflammation. How do F-acids achieve this? They contain what's called a resonance structure. A resonance structure may sound like the crystal that powers a lightsaber or Iron Man's suit, but it's actually even cooler. These chemical firefighters knock out free radicals and then stabilize themselves to end the destructive chain reaction. They're so good at it, F-acids may be your brain's silent guardian molecules, sniping free radicals like a boss while allowing omega-3s to take all the credit. Let's take a moment of pause, however, before we try to make F-acids the next big supplement craze. The discovery of these benevolent free radical fighters is an argument against trying to break the value of whole foods down into individual micronutrients. We've co-evolved with our food, and trying to optimize our infinitely complex bodies by cherry-picking nutrients may be the ultimate exercise in hubris. F-acids are the perfect case in point. Pharmaceutical companies have been trying to distill and extract purer and purer concentrations of EPA omega-3s from fish to create super potent fish oil, but they don't always show the expected anti-inflammatory benefit. Could this be because these super delicate yet powerful furan fats are destroyed in manufacturing? This is why we're always in favor of whole foods over supplements, even the supplements we recommend. ALA, the plant omega-3. I've briefly mentioned another common omega-3, plant-based alpha-linolenic acid, or ALA, found in seeds and nuts like flax seeds, chia seeds, and walnuts. In our bodies, ALA needs to be converted to DHA and EPA to be used, but this is a very inefficient process, and what limited ability we possess further declines with age. Healthy young men convert an estimated 8% of dietary ALA to EPA, and 0 to 4% to DHA. In fact, the conversion of ALA to DHA is so limited in men that consuming more ALA from flaxseed oil, for example, may not increase DHA in the brain at all. Women, on the other hand, are approximately 2.5 times more efficient at converting ALA, an ability thought to be facilitated by estrogen to support the needs of future childbearing. Unfortunately, the capacity to create DHA from ALA may partly decline as a result of menopause, perhaps playing a role in the increased risk that women face for both Alzheimer's disease and depression. Factors other than gender influence the conversion of plant-based ALA to DHA and EPA. People of European origin who possess newer genes, they just don't make them like they used to, may have reduced conversion abilities compared to those of African descent. It's possible that the ability to convert plant forms of ALA became relegated with the increasing availability of more reliable sources of omega-3s from meat, fish, and eggs. Ironically, and adding to the considerable consequences of polyunsaturated oil consumption, the enzymes that convert ALA to EPA and DHA also convert linoleic acid, the predominant omega-6 fat in the diet, to its usable pro-inflammatory form called arachidonic acid. These benevolent worker chemicals are indifferent to our needs. They just convert what we feed them, and today we're feeding them mostly omega-6s. In the case of people who get little preformed EPA and DHA and lots of omega-6s from their diets, vegans who consume lots of processed foods, for example, the brain may actually become omega-3 deficient for this reason. To eliminate the guesswork when it comes to nourishing your brain with EPA and DHA, I suggest the set-it-and-forget-it method. Be vigilant in your avoidance of polyunsaturated oils, corn, soy, canola, and other grain and seed oils, and ensure that you're getting preformed EPA and DHA from whole food sources like fish. Wild salmon and sardines are great, low-mercury choices, pastured or omega-3 eggs, and grass-fed beef. On days that you're unable to get your dose of preformed EPA and DHA, supplemental fish, krill, or plant-based algae oil may help. Once you cover those bases, ALA from whole food sources like walnuts, flax seeds, or chia seeds is a great addition. Monounsaturated fats, your brain's best friend. As with polyunsaturated fats, the brain is rich in monounsaturated fats, which form the brain's myelin sheath. This is the protective coating that insulates neurons and allows for speedy neurotransmission. However, unlike polyunsaturated fats, monounsaturated fats are chemically stable. Oils composed primarily of these fats not only are safe to consume, but seem to have a number of positive effects in the body. Some common sources of monounsaturated fat include avocados, avocado oil, and macadamia nuts, and the fat content of wild salmon and beef is nearly 50% monounsaturated. But perhaps the most famous source of monounsaturated fat is extra virgin olive oil. In Mediterranean countries such as Greece, southern Italy, and Spain, where rates of neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's are lower, extra virgin olive oil is the ultimate sauce, used liberally on steaks, beans, vegetables, bread, pizza, pasta, and seafood, in soups, and even in desserts. My friend Nicholas Coleman, chief oleologist in New York City's Eataly, painted the picture for me. They don't drizzle olive oil, they pour it on. Mediterraneans even cook with it. Contrary to popular belief, EVOO retains much of its nutritional value even under extreme conditions. That being said, it's still better to save high-heat cooking for saturated fats, which are the most chemically stable, and which we'll cover next. The so-called Mediterranean diet is often cited by epidemiologists, scientists who study health and disease in large populations and make associations based on the data that they collect, as being the most protective large-scale dietary pattern against cardiovascular disease and neurodegeneration. And it's been shown that higher adherence to the Mediterranean style of eating leads not only to better long-term health outcomes, including a robust risk reduction for developing dementia, but bigger brains as well. But as I've mentioned, the major limitation of epidemiological studies is that they are based on observation, making it impossible to pinpoint which aspects of the diet are causally involved in such benefits. To bridge this gap and look specifically at the effect of foods rich in monounsaturated fat on cognitive performance, scientists in Barcelona began a trial that pitted a low-fat diet, still widely recommended, against two versions of the higher-fat Mediterranean diet. One of the two experimental Mediterranean diets was supplemented with tree nuts like almonds, hazelnuts, and walnuts, all great sources of monounsaturated fat. The other experimental diet was supplemented with even more extra virgin olive oil. In the high olive oil group, participants were given a liter to consume per week. Just to put that in perspective, 1 liter of olive oil contains more than 8,000 calories, more than half a week's worth of calories for an adult male. Both groups, those that adhered to the diet supplemented with added nuts and those supplementing with added olive oil, not only retained but improved their cognitive function after 6 years, with the olive oil group coming out slightly ahead. The low-fat control group exhibited steady decline. Get to know the grassy, peppery taste of a good EVOO, preferably organic, by swooshing it to the back of your throat, and taste it often. Stock your kitchen with extra virgin olive oil and use it in low to medium heat cooking as a sauce on eggs, vegetables, and fish, and in all of your salads. Saturated fats, stable and able. Saturated fats are essential to life. They provide support to your cell membranes and serve as precursors to a variety of hormones and hormone-like substances. Saturated fat is the most abundant type of fat in human breast milk, arguably nature's ideal food for a newborn. Usually solid at room temperature, saturated fat is most commonly found in full-fat dairy like cheese, butter, and ghee, meats like beef, pork, and chicken, and even certain fruits like coconut and olives. Extra virgin olive oil is nearly 15% saturated fat. Saturated fats have had a lot of bad press in recent years, having become vilified as the artery-clogging fat. Quite literally, these are the fats our mothers warned us about. But unlike the toxic fats we've traded them in for, grain and seed oils like canola, corn, and soybean oil, saturated fats are the most chemically stable and the most appropriate to use for higher heat cooking. Welcoming saturated fats such as coconut oil, grass-fed butter, and ghee back to the kitchen is a biologically relevant, real-world application that may have a major benefit on your health. A fat framed? As a nutrient, saturated fat is not inherently unhealthy or healthy. Its role in your health is dependent on a few questions, such as, do you eat a lot of sugar? Is your diet heavy in processed foods? Do you consider ketchup a vegetable? This is because saturated fat can magnify the deleterious effects of a high-carbohydrate, low-nutrient diet. There is also a question of genes, which I will explore in Chapter 5. Unfortunately, ultra-processed convenience foods tend to be high in sugar and refined carbohydrates, and they are often combined with equal amounts of saturated fat. Picture hamburgers on white flour buns, cheesy pizzas, creamy pasta dishes, deluxe nachos, burritos, ice cream, and even the seemingly innocuous bagel with butter. These foods now make up 60% of the calories consumed in the United States and are highly damaging to our health. Some research suggests that the combination of carbs and fat in a given meal can induce a temporary state of insulin resistance, a form of metabolic dysfunction that increases inflammation and fat storage. I'll describe exactly how this affects the brain in upcoming chapters. That our bodies become confused when high amounts of saturated fat and carbohydrates are consumed together should not come as a surprise. After all, you'd have a hard time finding foods in nature that contain both saturated fat and carbohydrates. Fruit is mostly pure carbohydrate and fiber, and low-sugar fruits like avocado and coconut contain ample fat but very little carbohydrate. Animal products are usually pure fat and protein, and vegetables, whether starchy or fibrous, are usually fat-free. Dairy would be the one exception where saturated fat and sugars are combined, which may help it serve its evolutionary purpose of helping a young animal put on weight. Otherwise, only modern foods regularly marry saturated fat and carbohydrates, combined usually with the intent of promoting overconsumption. Saturated fats in your blood. Blood levels of saturated fat have been linked with increased risk for dementia. But how do these fats get there in the first place? It is commonly believed that circulating fatty acids reflect dietary intake, but the associations are weak, especially for saturated fatty acids, wrote researchers from Ohio State University in PLOS 1, seeking to answer this very question. They found that two of the saturated fats linked with dementia, stearic and palmitic acids, did not become elevated in the blood even when their subjects consumed them in amounts as high as 84 grams per day, the equivalent of nearly 11 tablespoons of butter. On the other hand, the highest circulating saturated fats were measured after the subjects consumed a high carbohydrate diet, while eating fewer carbohydrates led to lower circulating levels. As it turns out, most of the body's circulating levels of saturated fats originate in the liver, where they are produced in response to carbohydrates, a process called lipogenesis, or fat creation. Other studies have demonstrated similar results, proving that our bodies are dynamic chemistry labs that don't always follow simple logic, a fact that is often used to sell food products, pharmaceutical drugs, or general misinformation. Saturated fat in the brain, friends or foes? When it comes to the impact that saturated fat has on the brain, finding truthful answers can be tricky. Close inspection of many animal studies nearly universally reveals that what is reported as a high-fat diet for the animals is, in reality, a toxic slurry of sugar, lard, and soybean oil. This might trace back to a basic labeling oversight. Lab suppliers of rat chow often label diets meant to mimic the standard American diet as simply high fat. Footnote: sometimes experimental high-fat diets might even include trans fats. This oversight makes little sense considering that man-made trans fats are highly toxic, possessing clear deleterious effects on cognitive health. Don't get me wrong. Animal studies like these are incredibly valuable. Thanks to these studies, we have some clues as to why people who adhere more closely to the high-sugar, high-fat standard American diet tend to have smaller hippocampi, the structure in the brain that processes our memories. These studies also tell us that the combination of sugar and saturated fat, common in fast food, can drive inflammation and drain BDNF from the brain. The problem is, this nuance is often lost when the media reports on these findings, resulting in misleading headlines such as "How a High-Fat Diet Could Damage Your Brain," which was the title of a widely circulated article posted on one well-known publisher's site. The food used in the mouse study that the article was reporting on was 55% saturated fat, 5% soybean oil, and 20% sugar. Unless readers went out of their way to find the original study, assuming they'd even have access to it and didn't glaze over from the jargon, they could easily interpret this as a strike against high, healthy fat diets, those that are low in processed carbohydrates and polyunsaturated oils, and high in omega-3 fats, nutrient-rich vegetables, and the relatively small amount of saturated fat found in properly raised animal products. The question that remains is how much saturated fat should be consumed in a brain-optimal diet. While the evidence warning us to avoid saturated fat is and has always been shaky at best, there is also scant evidence to suggest that chasing saturated fat has any benefit to the brain, unlike, for example, monounsaturated fat, which is the primary fat in extra virgin olive oil. While the details are still being unraveled, you can rest assured that what's good for your body is also very likely good for your brain. What we're beginning to learn is that nutritionally poor westernized diets that are rich in processed polyunsaturated oils and rapidly digestible carbohydrates are the true culprits in not only cardiovascular disease, but obesity and type 2 diabetes, and, as research is now making clear, brain disease as well. For these reasons, I place no restriction on the consumption of saturated fats when they are contained in whole foods, or when they are used for occasional higher heat cooking. The main oil in your diet should always be genius food number one, extra virgin olive oil. Trans fats, a fat to be feared. Trans fats are unsaturated fats that behave in some ways like saturated fats. One naturally produced trans fat, conjugated linolenic acid, or CLA, is found in the milk and meat products of grass-fed animals and is believed to be very healthy, associated with better metabolic health and vascular health, and reduced cancer risk. But natural trans fats are relatively rare in the modern human diet. The bulk of trans fats consumed by humans are the result of industrial manufacturing. These man-made trans fats are not just bad, they're Darth Vader meets Lord Voldemort bad. They begin life as polyunsaturated oils, which can freely pass the blood-brain barrier, and are pumped with hydrogen. You can see these on food packages if you look for hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated oils. This process makes them behave more like saturated fats, becoming solid at room temperature. Food manufacturers like this for two reasons. It allows them to add a rich, buttery texture to foods using cheap oils, and it extends the shelf life of those foods. As such, these fats are commonly found in packaged foods, cakes, margarine, nut butters where they prevent oil separation, and even some vegan cheese spreads with otherwise healthy-looking packaging. Man-made trans fats are highly inflammatory, promoting insulin resistance and heart disease. They can raise total cholesterol while lowering protective HDL. A recent meta-analysis, a study of studies, found that consumption of trans fats was associated with a 34% increased risk of all-cause mortality, meaning early death by any cause. In terms of the brain, trans fats may be particularly damaging. Remember earlier when I told you about the value of membrane fluidity? Trans fats can integrate themselves into your neuronal membranes and stiffen them like a corpse with rigor mortis. This makes it much more difficult for neurotransmitters to do their jobs and for cells to receive nutrients and fuel. Studies have also linked trans fat consumption to brain shrinkage and sharply increased risk for Alzheimer's disease, two things that you certainly don't want. But even in healthy people, consuming trans fats has been associated with significantly worse memory performance. A study published in 2015 found that for every additional gram of trans fat participants ate, their recall of words that they'd been asked to remember dropped by 0.76 words. Those who ate the most trans fats recalled 12 fewer words than those who consumed no trans fats at all. Think you're safe just by avoiding hydrogenated oils? The mere processing of polyunsaturated fats creates trans fats. Researchers have found small amounts of them lurking within the bottles of many commonly sold cooking oils. Even organic expeller-pressed canola oil is as much as 5% trans fat. We consume on average about 20 grams of canola or other vegetable oil per person per day. That's your 1 gram of trans fat right there. By avoiding corn, soy, and canola oils and products that are made with them, as I've outlined earlier in the chapter, and any oil that has been hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated, you are covering your bases to ensure that not a trace of man-made trans fat enters your system. Fat, the nutrient ferry. A final but incredibly important benefit of adding more good fats to your diet in the form of fat-rich foods like eggs, avocado, fatty fish, and extra virgin olive oil is that fats facilitate the absorption of critical fat-soluble nutrients like vitamins A, E, D, and K, as well as important carotenoids like beta-carotene. These nutrients have wide-ranging effects on the body, from protecting against DNA damage to guarding the fats that are already present in your body and brain against aging. Carotenoids, the yellow, orange, and red pigments abundant in carrots, sweet potatoes, rhubarb, and particularly in dark leafy greens like kale and spinach, have been identified as powerful brain boosters. You can't see them in dark leafy greens because they're disguised by the green pigment of chlorophyll, but they're there. Among these, lutein and zeaxanthin in particular have been linked with greater neural efficiency and crystallized intelligence, or the ability to use the skills and knowledge one has acquired over a lifetime. Turbocharge your brain with carotenoids. It's been known for some time that carotenoids play an important role in protecting the eyes and brain from aging, but they may also speed up your brain. In a clinical trial, University of Georgia researchers gave 69 young, healthy male and female students supplements containing lutein and zeaxanthin, two carotenoids abundant in kale, spinach, and avocado, or a placebo for 4 months. The subjects who received the lutein and zeaxanthin saw a 20% boost in visual processing speed, measured by the retina's automatic reaction to a stimulus. Processing speed is important because it's the pace at which you take information in, make sense of what you're perceiving, and begin to respond. Faster visual processing tends to correlate with better sports performance, reading speed, and executive function, and reduced processing speed is a central and early feature of cognitive decline. Researchers wrote of this impressive increase, "This is significant since young, healthy subjects are typically considered to be at peak efficiency and might be expected to be more resistant to change." They continued, It can be generally remarked that improving diet is not simply to prevent acquired or deficiency disease, but rather to optimize function throughout life. I couldn't agree more. These nutrients require fat to be piggybacked into your body's circulation, to the degree that when a salad is consumed, the absorption of carotenoids is negligible unless eaten with a source of fat. A generous splash of extra virgin olive oil is an excellent choice, or simply add a few whole eggs to your salad. In a Purdue University study, participants who added 3 whole eggs to their salads increased their absorption of carotenoids by 3- to 8-fold compared to when no eggs were added. If eggs aren't your thing, add some avocado, and know that in doing so, you're reaping the astonishing benefits of fat-soluble, brain-power-boosting nutrients like carotenoids. So there you have it, a solid understanding of the role of fat in your body. Many generations were led astray when it came to our most important nutrient, but we now know the importance of the right fats for the brain. Once I learned this, my diet changed dramatically, and satiating, nourishing, and safe foods that were once off-limits have become irreplaceable staples in my diet. But we aren't in the clear just yet. Cognitive catastrophe and salvation merely begins with fat. Up next, the ultimate harbinger of brain destruction. Field notes. Polyunsaturated fats, vulnerable to oxidation, can either be your best friend or worst enemy. Avoid grain and seed oils like corn and soy, as well as fried foods that use recycled vegetable oils. Make your own salad dressing. You really don't want 200 calories of suspect polyunsaturated fats served with your healthiest meal of the day. Store-bought and even restaurant-made salad dressings can be the worst offenders. Restaurants routinely swap out or dilute extra virgin olive oil with canola oil, or worse, mystery vegetable oil. Restaurant food is almost always a gamble, so look the proprietors in the eye and ask them what oils they cook with. If you're unable to get 3+ servings of fatty fish per week, wild salmon and sardines are mega-concentrated sources of omega-3, consider taking a fish oil supplement, or, if you're a vegan, opt for algae oil. Extra virgin olive oil should be your main dietary oil. Saturated fat from whole food sources is helpful in the context of a diet that is devoid of sugar, low in carbohydrates, and high in fiber, omega-3s, and essential nutrients from plant foods. Trans fats are a dietary devil. Avoid anything with hydrogenated oil or processed polyunsaturated oils, which are at least 5% trans fat, even without hydrogenation. Certain nutrients in vegetables are not absorbed unless in the presence of fat. Salads and vegetables, therefore, should always include a healthy fat source. Genius food number 2, avocados. Avocados are an all-in-one genius food, the perfect food to protect and enhance your brain. To start, they have the highest total fat-protecting capacity of any fruit or vegetable. This is good news for your brain, which is not only the fattiest organ in your body, but also a magnet for oxidative stress, a major driver of aging, a consequence of the fact that 25% of the oxygen you breathe goes to create energy in your brain. Avocados are also rich in different types of vitamin E, a characteristic not many supplements can claim, and they are a potent repository for carotenoids, lutein, and zeaxanthin. You may recall from Chapter 2 that these pigments can boost your brain's processing speed, but that they rely on fat to be properly absorbed. Conveniently, avocados are an abundant source of healthy fats. Today, there's an epidemic of vascular disease, not only in the form of heart disease, but as vascular dementia, which is the second most common form of dementia after Alzheimer's. Potassium works with sodium to regulate blood pressure and is essential for vascular health, but today we tend to consume insufficient amounts of potassium. In fact, scientists believe that our hunter-gatherer ancestors consumed 4 times as much potassium as we do today, which may explain why hypertension, stroke, and vascular dementia are now so common. By providing twice the potassium content of a banana, a whole avocado is the perfect food to nurture the brain's estimated 400 miles of microvasculature. Finally, who needs fiber supplements or cheap, industrially produced morning cereals when you can eat an avocado? One whole medium avocado contains a whopping 12 grams of fiber, food for the hungry bacteria that live in your gut, which will ultimately pay their rent in the form of life and brain-sustaining compounds that reduce inflammation, enhance insulin sensitivity, and boost growth factors in the brain. How to use? I try to eat a half to a whole avocado every day. You can enjoy avocados simply sprinkled with a little sea salt and extra virgin olive oil. They may also be sliced and added to salads, eggs, smoothies, or in my Better Brain Bowl. See the recipe on the PDF enhancement that accompanies this audiobook. Pro tip. Avocados are known for taking a long time to ripen and only a day or two to foul. To keep extra avocados from going bad, pop them in the fridge once ripe and take them out when ready to eat. You won. Avocados, zero. Chapter 3. Overfed Yet Starving. A human being should be able to change a diaper, plan an invasion, butcher a hog, con a ship, design a building, write a sonnet, balance accounts, build a wall, set a bone, comfort the dying, take orders, give orders, cooperate, act alone, solve equations, analyze a new problem, pitch manure, program a computer, cook a tasty meal, fight efficiently, die gallantly. Specialization is for insects. Robert A. Heinlein. Let us think back to a time before food delivery apps and diet gurus, when Trader Joe was the guy guarding the only salt lake in a 100-mile radius, and biohacking was something you did to a fresh kill with a sharpened stone. Government diet recommendations, or governments for that matter, wouldn't arrive on the scene for millennia, so you'd have to make do as your ancestors did with intuition and availability. As a forager, your diet would consist of a diverse array of land animals, fish, vegetables, and wild fruits. The chief calorie contributor would by and large be fat, followed by protein. You might consume a limited amount of starch in the form of fiber-rich tubers, nuts, and seeds, but concentrated sources of digestible carbohydrate were highly limited, if you had access to them at all. Wild fruits, the only sweet food available to ancestral you, looked and tasted much different from the domesticated fruits that would line supermarket shelves eons later. You likely wouldn't even recognize them when placed next to their contemporary counterparts, a contrast almost as stark as a Maltese lapdog standing next to its original ancestor, the gray wolf. These early fruits would be small, taste a fraction as sweet, and be available only seasonally. Then, approximately 10,000 years ago, a hairpin turn in human evolution occurred. In the blink of an eye, you went from a roaming tribal forager subject to the whims of season to a settler with planted crops and farmed animals. The invention of agriculture brought to your family and the rest of humanity what was a previously inconceivable notion. The ability to produce a surplus of food beyond the immediate needs of daily subsistence. This was one of the major singularities of human existence, a paradigm shift marking a point of no return entry into a new reality. And in that new reality, though we procured quantities of food that would feed many people cheaply and fuel global population growth, individual health took a downward turn. For hundreds of thousands of years prior, the human diet was rich in an array of nutrients spanning diverse climes, but this micronutrient and geographic diversity disappeared when every meal became based on the handful of plant and animal species that we were able to cultivate. Starvation was less of an immediate threat, but we became slaves to single crops, making nutrient deficiencies more prevalent. The dramatic increase in the availability of starch and sugar from wheat and corn, for example, created tooth decay and obesity, a loss of height, and a decrease in bone density. By domesticating animals and crops, we inadvertently domesticated ourselves. The advent of agriculture fed a vicious spiral of behavioral demands that changed the very nature of our brains. A hunter-gatherer had to be self-sufficient, but the post-agriculture world favored specialization. Someone to plant the wheat, someone to pick it, someone to mill it, someone to cook it, someone to sell it. While this process of hyper-specialization eventually led to the Industrial Revolution and all of its conveniences like iPhones, Costco, and the Internet, these modern trappings came with a flip side. Fitting an ancient brain into the modern environment may be like fitting a square peg into a round hole, as evidenced by the millions of Americans on antidepressants, stimulants, and drugs of abuse. A person with ADHD, whose brain thrives on novelty and exploration, may have been the ultimate hunter-gatherer, but today this person struggles with a job that requires repetition and routine. The authors can relate. The confluence of this dietary shift and the relegation of our cognitive duties caused our brains to lose the volumetric equivalent of a tennis ball in a mere 10,000 years. Our ancestors from 500 generations ago would have lamented our restrictive existences and then apologized to us for engineering our cognitive demise. Forget about leaving the next generation with lower standards of living, student debt, or environmental destruction. Our ancestors were so successful they left us with smaller brains. We didn't know it at the time, but in one fell swoop, we had turned our backs on the diet and lifestyle that created the human brain and adopted one that shrank it. Energy-dense, nutrient-poor. Given the obesity epidemic and the amount of food Americans and others around the globe routinely throw away, even slightly misshapen fresh vegetables get tossed out so your supermarket-going experience is as aesthetically pleasing as possible, it may surprise you to know that our bodies are still somehow starving. Have you ever wondered why so many packaged goods now have to be fortified with vitamins? There are more than 50,000 edible plant species around the world, plants that provide a bevy of unique and beneficial nutrients that we consumed as foragers. And yet today, our diets are dominated by three crops, wheat, rice, and corn, which together account for 60% of the world's calorie intake. These grains provide a source of cheap energy, but are relatively low in nutrition. Adding in a few cents worth of usually synthetic vitamins is the dietary equivalent of putting lipstick on a pig. Micronutrients gone MIA. Potassium supports healthy blood pressure and nerve signals. B vitamins support gene expression and nerve insulation. Vitamin E protects fatty structures like brain cells against inflammation. Vitamin K2 keeps calcium out of soft tissues like skin and arteries and in bones and teeth. Magnesium creates energy and facilitates DNA repair. Vitamin D, anti-inflammatory, supports a healthy immune system. Selenium creates thyroid hormones and prevents mercury toxicity. This micronutrients list covers only some of the essential nutrients lost to the modern diet. In total, there are roughly 40 minerals, vitamins, and other chemicals that have been identified as essential to our physiology and are readily contained in the whole foods we are not eating. As a result, 90% of Americans now fall short in obtaining adequate amounts of at least one vitamin or mineral. To complicate matters, nutrient intake guidelines are set only to avert population deficiencies. This means that even when we check all the institutionally recommended boxes, we may still be handicapping our bodies in serious ways. The recommended daily allowance, or RDA, of vitamin D, for example, is meant only to prevent rickets. But vitamin D, generated when our skin is exposed to the sun's UVB rays, is a steroid hormone that affects the functioning of nearly 1,000 genes in the body, many involved in inflammation, aging, and cognitive function. In fact, a recent University of Edinburgh analysis found low vitamin D to be a top driver of dementia incidence among environmental risk factors. Some researchers have argued that the RDA for vitamin D should be at least 10 times higher than it currently is for optimal health. When our bodies sense low nutrient availability, what's available will generally be used in processes that ensure our short-term survival, while long-term health takes a back seat. That's the theory initially proposed by noted aging researcher Bruce Ames. Dubbed the triage theory of aging, it's sort of like how a government may choose to ration food and fuel during wartime. In such cases, more immediate needs such as food and shelter might take priority, whereas public education would become a casualty. In the case of our bodies, loftier repair projects can become an afterthought to basic survival processes, all while pro-inflammatory processes run amok. The downstream effects of magnesium deficiency may be the perfect example of such reprioritization. This is because magnesium is a mineral required by more than 300 enzymatic reactions in the body, with duties ranging from energy creation to DNA repair. If it's constantly shuttled into short-term needs, DNA repair takes a back seat. This effect is almost certainly magnified when we consider that nearly 50% of the population doesn't consume adequate amounts of magnesium, second in deficiency rates only to vitamin D, and yet it is easily found at the center of chlorophyll, the energy-generating molecule that gives dark leafy greens their color. Research has validated that inflammation wrought by nutrient scarcity is strongly linked with accelerated brain aging and impaired cognitive function. Robert Sapolsky, author of Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers, may have said it best when describing the similar reshuffling of priorities that occurs during stress. the body holds off on long-term projects until it knows that there will be a long-term. After all, the major consequences of damaged DNA, a tumor, for example, or dementia, won't get in your way for years, decades even, but we need energy today. Sugar and Carbs 101. One could argue that the principal shift from prehistory to modernity was to promote concentrated sources of carbohydrates from cameo appearances in our diets to starring roles. The most concentrated source of carbohydrates is refined sugar, which is now added to everything, from seemingly innocuous juices, crackers,